Chapter 18 of The Adventures of Robin Hood, The Witch of Papelworth. So here I go. His king is Sherwood and play a tale of Robin Hood's inviting from the Vale of Belvoir all the shepherds to feast, where by the casual absence of one guest, the mirth is troubled much. Ben Jonson, the Sad Shepherd, 1640. One of the strangest adventures that ever befell Robin Hood and his company chanced at a time when they had left the deeper glades of Sherwood for the open parkland and the green downs where the shepherds and shepherdesses of Papelwick lived their simple, carefree life, far from all wars and discords. On a sweet summer's day, Robin Hood decided to hold a feast at which to entertain all the shepherds and shepherdesses besides his own merry men. Marian with Scarlet and several others went forth to kill the deer, while Robin greeted each of his guests. But one guest was missing, the shepherd Eglamour. Where is he, who was wont to sing such sweet songs? Asked Robin, and the shepherd Lionel replied, "Alas, good Robin, Eglamour has lost his love, the beautiful Irene, drowned only a few days since the passing over the River Trent. Her body was never recovered, and Eglamour will not believe that she is dead, but seeks her still by wood and wold, calling her name until I think the very birds weep for him." "That is a sadness hard to be comforted," said Robin. "Yet go you in search of him, friend Lionel, and let Much go with you also. Seek if you may find him, and bring him to our feast." Scarcely had they set out in search of Eglamour when a horn sounded nearby, and Marian returned walking proudly in advance, while Scarlet and the rest followed behind with the deer cut up and ready to cook. "My Marian," cried Robin. "Robin, my love," she answered, "oh, now my day's happiness is complete. I rose early before the sun, and such fine sport we had seeking the deer. Then one shot brought him down, a long shot, and my arrow in his heart. And now to find you waiting with all your friends. We did but wait for you," said Robin. "This is a day of joy indeed." "Only one shadow fell upon us," said Marian. "When we had killed the deer and cut it up, a raven sat upon the tree over our heads and croaked dismally." "It was but waiting for a chair," laughed Robin. They are wise birds, and know that it is ever the huntsman's custom, when he claves the brisket bone, to set aside the spoon for of it with the gristle that crawls there, which indeed is often called the raven's bone. I know, said Marion, but the shepherd Carolyn, who was with us, swore that it was no ordinary raven, but Mother Maughlin, the witch of Papplewick, who, it is said, can take any form she will. Carolyn met Maughlin in the dawning, and she was rousing the deer for us, and says she cursed him, promising that ill things would this day befall any who ate of a deer at Robin Hood's feast. Marian said this half laughing and yet half in fear, for indeed at that time all men believed in witchcraft, and doubtless that was why there were still witches to be found who were indeed in touch with the darker powers of evil. While Marian sent to wash in the stream nearby, Robin turned to Carolyn the shepherd and asked him about Mother Maughlin. She is indeed a witch, answered Carolyn. Some call her just a wise woman, but most of us know better. And I know for sure that she is an errant witch and a shapeshifter at that. How are you so certain? Asked Robin. Why, I saw her but a moment since, answered Carolyn. Down by the stream, she had kindled a little fire, and there was broiling the very bone we threw to the raven at the kill. During the pause which followed his statement, Marian came hastening back to them, but now all the joy and gaiety had died out of her face, and her eyes seemed cold and hard. How now, sweet Marian, began Robin, shall we to the feast? Feast, cried Marian, her voice growing shrill with anger. What feast? Why, Marian, how strange you look, said Robin. Say, has anything chanced to cause you fear or pain? Oh, I am well, snapped Marian. I am better than ever I was. Then let us call our friends to the feast, repeated Robin, still looking at her with a troubled expression. Friends, cried Marian, they shall not feast on this venison. It is too good for such coarse, rustic mouths that cannot open to thank for it. A starved sheep's carcase would suit them better. Scarlet, take up the venison. Swiftly now, carry it to Mother Maughlin, the wise woman whom you call a witch. Tell her I sent it. She at least will be grateful to return me her kind thanks. Marian, can this be true? Gasped Robin. Friends, tell me that I am but dreaming, and I am not Robin Hood, nor this is my Marian. You are Robin Hood, right enough, snapped Marian. You it is who spy on everything I do, and follow me everywhere with your jealousy and oppression. I'll give the venison to whom I please. I shot the deer, and it is mine to dispose of. And you shall not call my kind friend Maughlin a witch. Go and swill ale with these vulgar shepherds and their girls. I can bear your company no more today. And with that, she strode away into the forest, leaving them all speechless. "I fear she is stricken with some illness," said Robin at last. "Never has she been like this before. I will go seek her. But do her biding, Scarlet, and take the venison to Mother Magdalene. Friends, forgive me. This has spoilt all the joy of our merrymaking, but I trust that all may yet be set right." Then Robin went off into the wood, and presently he found Marian sitting by the stream with a shepherdess called Amy, who was telling her all the sad tale of Eglamour and the lost Irene. "Oh, my love," cried Marian so soon as she saw Robin, "forgive me for staying so long away from you." And she ran towards Robin with her eyes outstretched. But Robin said sternly, "How am I now your love, and no longer a spy who follows you everywhere with my jealousy and oppression?" "Spy? Jealousy?" gasped Marian. "Oh, Robin, what do you mean? Did you not leave our guest declaring that a starved sheep's carcass was all that were fit for, and send Will Scarlet to carry venison to Mother Maudlin?" "I to Mother Maudlin?" gasped Marian. "Does Scarlet say that?" "You cannot deny it," said Robin, "for there is Linio who heard it all, and here comes Scarlet himself." "Aelus," cried Marian, her eyes filling with tears, "this is some just cruel jest that you are practicing on me. I never said anything of these, nor send venison to Mother Magdalene. I came here to the stream to wash, and would have turned at once, had I not found Amy, and stayed to hear the sad loss of Irene." By this time, Scarlet had joined them. "I have done your biding," he said, "and taken the venison to Mother Magdalene's." "Aelus," cried Marian again, "you are all in league against me. I never gave you such a command. I have been here all the time with Amy ever since I left you, just after Linio had told you the raven of Mother Magdalene." "The raven and the witch!" exclaimed Scarlet. "By Our Lady, there is something strange in all this. Is it your will, good Lady Marian, that I bring back the venison?" "It is indeed," answered Marian, and went away with Scarlet at full speed. "Good Robin Hood," said Amy, "I swear before God that May Marian has been here with me for at least half an hour, and when she came, it was with hands defiled from the deer which she proposed to wash in the stream." "This is strange," began Robin. "Yet how can your senses? You have been deceived." "Look at you," interrupted Lionel suddenly. "Here comes Mother Magdalene herself, and Little John is with her." Sure enough, there was the old woman, who was supposed to be a witch and bent form, with long gray locks, fierce, rather cruel eyes, hobbling swiftly along beside the gigantic person of her guide. "Good master," called Little John, as soon as they were near enough, "here is Mother Magdalene, who would speak with you. She says that she comes in gratitude for the gift sent by her maid Marian." "Aye, kind hearts," cried Magdalene shrilly, "sent me a stag. She did, a whole stab for poor old Madeline, the fattest deer that ever I set eyes on. So fairly hunted on that such a time, too, when all your friends went hungry for the gift of it. It is true, then, said Robin in a low voice. Oh, such a bounty to a poor old woman, continued Madeline. Oh, I shall go crazy with joy for it. Surely, good master, said Marian. Good mother, said Marian. There is some mistake. This deer was indeed the meat and intend to feast our dear friends and shepherds and shepherdess of Papelwick, for whom the best stag in all the Sherwood forest could not be too good. But thank you, my foresters, were such mistaken to bear it all away to you. Or else some madness has come upon me, if I indeed have such an order. So you will not take it, dear Mother Madeline. I dare swear, if we entreat you, now that you know who are your guests. Our guests. Remember that red deer is still the choicest dish at any forest feast. But I know your charity, dear lady, whined Madeline, and you can well spare it. I cannot return it now, for I already divided among my poor neighbors in and around Papelwick. I give it not, cried Marian, wringing her hands. Either it was stolen or else there has been witchcraft here. Just at the moment, Will Scarlet came running swiftly and salted Robin Hood. Good master, he said, the deer is back once more in your kitchen. I found it all together where Mother Madeline had laid it away. But now our fellow Reynold is making it ready to cook. Do you have a thing, and then can it back again? Cried Madeline. No, Madeline, replied Marian, her eyes flashing. We took it not, for you had it no longer, but had given it away among your neighbors. I have done no wrong. Then Madeline waved her hands in the air and shrieked curses on their feast, and especially on Reynold the cook. The split stands still and no joint stern before the fire, but let it burn. Both sides and haunches till the whole coveted to be one coal. The stickening drops he enter in your filthy cook and swell his skin. The pain we call the gout begin to prick and itch from toe to shin, and cramp to cook in every limb before you dine. All this on him. And away she hobbled, still cursing freely, and chanting her wicked rhymes in a shrill voice. By the mass, exclaimed Robin, crossing himself, she's a witch indeed. I believe she can take any shape, as Lionel hinted. And if I could but see her once more in Marian's form, which I almost believe she wore little while since, I would know for certain now how she had been abused and cheated. Sweet Marian, forgive me for doubting you. With this kiss, I call you all to witness my penance. Just at this moment, Firetuck came puffing up, followed by several others of Robin's men. "Here's a to-do," gasped the friar. "Poor Reynold, the cook, is taken with the gaunt or cramp all of a sudden. He is all ridden of aches and pains. He cannot stand. He cannot steer hand or foot. And worst of all, he cannot cook." "Then indeed he is bewitched," cried Lonia, the sheepherd. "And Mother Maudlin has done it, even now, with charms and her curses." What's to be done?" asked Robin. "She must be restrained," cried Lonia. "Otherwise, she'll do a worse mischief. She'll have some charm upon her, some magic belt, or locket, or a talisman." "All right," exclaimed Robin. "Some of you, Little John, Georgia Green, Scarlet, go with Lonia in search of her. You, good friar, and Much, go back to cook our dinner. It is a pity to spoil it." "By the mass, that were the greatest pity of all," cried Firetuck. Come, Much, let us make haste to save our dinner." So they set off in several directions, Lonia telling John and the rest, with many ghastly details, how witches always lived in deep, dark caves, by ruined churchyards, and among gasping graves, making hideous brews out of sad mandrake, deadly nightshade, stupefying hemlock, and poisonous adder's tongues. Robin and Marian stayed behind with Amy, the shepherdess, for she assured them that Eglamour, the sad shepherd, was certain to pass that way, still lamenting his lost love, and then they might stop and comfort him. Sure enough, Eglamour came presently, walking like a shadow among the tall ferns and grasses, and singing his lost Ernie. Here was she wont to go, and here, just where those daisies, pinks and violets grow. The world might find the spring by following her. For Arthur Printer aid steps ne'er lift. Her treading would not bend the blade of grass, or shake the downy blow ball from his stalk. But like the soft west wind, she shot along, and where she went, the flowers took thickest root, as she showed them with her udder's foot. "Good shepherd," said Robin Hood kindly, as Eglamour paused beside them, his voice dying away in sobs. "Good shepherd, be comforted. Such grief, I know, can find no cure, save only time, but you must fight against it, and we will help you." "She's drowned," cried Eglamour wildly. "Drowned in the Trent. Maybe she fled away with some vile men. But she, as chaste was her name, Ernie, died in a cold stream, my lovely maid. And now her sweet soul hovers here in the air above us. So, Ernie, Ernie, I come." And on a sudden, he fled away into the wood, yet not so suddenly, but that both Robin and Marian would distantly see the figure of a girl flitting away in front of him. "By Our Lady," said Robin, "yonder indeed is Ernie, or her ghost. Or, Robin, do you think Madeline could help, could be up to more of her tricks?" gasped Marion.
I'll follow," shouted Robin. "Stay you here with Amy." And away he went over the springy turf and among the trees. Very soon he lost sight of Igglimore, but still every now and then he could see the slim form that looked like Ernie speeding ahead of him. At last he came along dark rocks and trees blasted by lightning, where for a while he was quite lost, until at length he heard shouts and a horn, which recognized as Little John's, and following the sounds came suddenly upon a dark house or hovel built against the cliffside and above a deep pool in the rocks, into which a waterfall plundered, and there the water swirled round as if in a giant's cauldron. Outside the house stood Little John and Igglimore, and in the doorway was Marion. Robin paused in amazement and watched unseen. "You are mistaken, good John, greatly mistaken," Marion was saying. "They say that Malden is a witch, but that is false. It is only that she is far wiser than any other woman, and knows cure of many sicknesses and wounds. Therefore, leave her in peace, good John. Return to Robin and tell him what I say, and beg him, as he loves me, not pursue her further, for she is my dear friend." "That this may be true, Lady Marion," said Little John uncertainly, but Robin must decide that for himself. Here I bide until he comes." And with that he blew another call on his horn. Then Robin stepped into view. "You run well, Marion," he began, "faster than I do, and yet..." But he had no time for more, for Marion, as soon as she saw him, uttered a scream of terror and turned, struggled of open door of the hovel. Robin sprang forward as he did so, saw that about her waist she strode with a strangled girdle curiously embroidered with mystic signs. He had seen it before, but not round Marion's waist. Surely Mother Malden wore just such a girdle. Robin seized the girdle just as the door flew open. It broke in his hand, remaining where Marion disappeared into the darkness within. A moment later, Maudlin rushed out. "Help! Murder! Help!" she screamed. "You will not rob me, outlaw, wicked thief. Restore my griddle that you have broken. Was this some charmed cycle?" said Robin grimly, "as cause of your descriptions. Look you, Mother Maudlin, there is no place for such as you in Sherwood Forest, nor in Papplewick, nor anywhere among hounds of good men or honest women. Now get you gone from here. There goes your charm." As she spoke, he flung the broken griddle far out into the seething pool beneath the waterfall. "Now go," he commanded. "If you are visible 5 minutes from now, my men shall hunt you like a wolf. And if ever they see you again,
and they have my command to shoot you as if they would a wolf. And as I shall shoot you if ever you cross my path again. Then Mother Maudlin turned and fled away swiftly, without a word, and was never more seen at Papplewick, nor anywhere in Sherwood Forest. But Robin and Little John and Eglamour entered the hovel, and there they found Ernie alive and well, but gagged and bound so that she could neither move nor cry out. Then their head released her, and Eglamour, his wits quite restored at the sight of his beloved, had carried her away into the forest. Robin and John set a fire to that evil dwelling, and stood by until only smoldering ashes remained to show where the witch of Papplewick had lived. Then they returned in joy and triumph to the feast, where Marion and Amy were waiting for them, and Friar Tuck had just been serving up the savoury joints of venison. There the wild rejoicing over the recovery of Ernie, the Friar Tuck strode at after dinner. He would solemnize two marriages, not only for Lineal and Amy, but for Eglamour and Ernie as well. "But now to dinner," he cried, "that comes before all." And with that he sang, "Now to the feast, the greenwood feast, with happy heart each rural guest. Sam buckles sound, each nymph and swain, join cheerful Charles' train, and nimbly trip it through the wood to the famed feast of Robin Hood." So that was chapter 18. Bye, guys. See you later. See you later. See you later. See ya. See ya later. Bye, guys.